Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for coming to the session. So I'm honored to be able to introduce Kathleen Ragsdale. She's an applied medical anthropologist. Dr. Ragsdale has over 15 years' experience conducting informational and domestic multi-methods research among culturally diverse and economically vulnerable populations. Her research focuses on how social, cultural values and practices and gender power dynamics shape critical health issues among marginalized groups, with a special emphasis on resource-limited women and children. Her expertise includes development and implementation of culturally informed research, needs assessments, and program evaluation.
Thank you. And I'm sorry that you guys are having to come and listen to a food-oriented presentation panel right at lunchtime. So, also, because of the weather change, I've got a little bit of a scratchy throat. I'm calling it sultry instead of scratchy. So can everybody hear me? Okay, good. All right. So, basically, what I'm going to be talking about today is on children's museums and health education centers. And the reason that this is important is because actually they are serving annually 31 million visitors. And what they're doing is they are helping to fill the gap in health education in school districts. And as you guys know that, you know, because there's so many competing demands for what's going on in schools, sometimes health is put on the back burner. So according to the Association of Children's Museums, children's museums and children's health education centers can actually be a major force in this informal learning community versus the formal classroom. Excuse me. So the big question then is, can children's museums and health education centers actually do a good job of giving health information? And what we know about this is that these evaluations of them are very rare. So there are very, very few studies out there. So I'm going to be talking today about the Be a Food Groupie program. This was conducted in Mississippi, and it is among elementary students. So we're defining youth very broadly. So we did our study among third, fourth, and fifth graders in North Mississippi. And, of course, first I want to give, skipped it. Yes, here's my disclosure. I have no relationships to disclose, at least not related to this. So this is actually a picture of HealthWorks, and HealthWorks is a prototype of a model that was started in South Bend, Indiana. And this is the second HealthWorks. This was started in 2009 in North Mississippi, so Tupelo, Mississippi, which is the birthplace of Elvis. And I can guarantee you that Elvis has left this building. So what we know about HealthWorks, like, they have a whole lot of things that are just children-oriented. So this is, they don't call themselves a children's museum. They call themselves a children's health education center. So they're sort of really into rebranding this whole thing. So kids get to play things like, this is a health thing called On the Fantastic Floor. This is Dr. Knows It All, so they get to learn about things about the nose and the nose system and all that. And Super Size Challenge, so it's an interactive game that they get to play, like, you know, how many calories are in certain levels of cups, you know, and so just kind of get kids to kind of think about these things. The other thing that they do is they have, these are called the Learning Labs. Instead of a classroom, it's a Learning Lab. And they have programs like Be a Food Groupie. So what they do here is they get the curriculum, and then they get to play games. And so it's very, very interactive at the same time. And it's really important to point this out that the curriculum for these programs like Be a Food Groupie are actually designed to meet the Mississippi Department of Education curriculum requirements. So you can actually make sure that this is like an evidence-based model. So I'm so sorry about my sultry voice. So Be a Food Groupie is designed to give kids smart food know-how to increase their food IQs. So what they're trying to do is help kids understand things that they can carry on into adulthood, so that they have better comprehension of good, healthy eating choices. So for the Be a Food Groupie intervention, we had food IQ domains, and they included comprehending food labels, understanding food groups, and understanding food serving sizes or portion distortions, so kids know, you know, what's the proper serving size. So as I mentioned before, this was an intervention conducted among third to fifth graders from 11 schools, and the intervention took recruit schools. It's very, very difficult. The first group that you have to really get buy-in from is principals. And so in the catchment area for the Appalachian Regional Commission, which studied, they funded the intervention. They had 23 North Mississippi schools in their catchment area. All the schools were invited to participate, and they were assured that their non-participation in no way affected getting a Be a Food Groupie field trip. So they got to come to Health Works to get the Be a Food Groupie field trip for free. So we had 12 schools initially that agreed to participate, and that was with a principal buy-in. And then one principal dropped out. So once that person dropped out, that left us with 11 schools. And as you guys who ever do school interventions will know, that's very, very common. So schools are matched on percentage of students who are resource limited, students who are of minority status, and then students who scored as proficient on the Mississippi curriculum test. So they were either proficient or non-proficient. So that's what we were matching students on. So for the intervention students, they got the pre-test, and this is a copy of the pre-test, to see what was on it. And then about 1 to 2 weeks later, depending on school holidays and things like that, they went to Health Works and participated in the Be a Food Groupie program, so they took a field trip. And then about 1 to 2 weeks later again, they took the post-test. So the pre-test and the post-test were delivered in classroom by their teacher. And I want to give a really big shout-out to all the classroom teachers because this was a very, very difficult project to pull off. So basically, we had to mail packets of pre-test and post-test to the principals with all the different teachers' names on it to make sure that all the teachers in the different grades got the right set of pre- or post-test. So it was a really big undertaking. So then for the control group, we had intervention students. We had 446 students for the control. We had 554 students. They took the pre-test in the classroom. They took the post-test about 1 to 2 weeks later, again, depending on holidays. And then they went on the Be a Food Groupie field trip. So they did get the field trip. They just got it in a different order from the intervention students. So remember, we talked about these dumb names. So this is kind of giving you a little bit of an example of what were some of the questions in the domain. So issue A, so basically on the test, kids were shown a lunch meat label, and then they were asked to calculate, you know, to get one serving of lunch meat, how many slices would you eat? So therefore, we're trying to get them to understand food labels, because, you know, that is so important to knowing what you're eating and whether you're making healthy choices. You know, one of the things that they say about sports drinks and other highly caloric drinks is that you think that bottle is one serving, but it might actually be two or three servings. So we're trying to get kids to kind of think about this stuff. So understanding the servings a person should eat, how many servings of fruits and vegetables a day, fruits and vegetables together should build about how much of your plate, and understanding food groups. Food protein groups help build strong muscles, and that's a yes or no. So the questions were either multiple choice, where they actually had to choose from the choice, or they were yes or no. Because remember, these are third, fourth, and fifth graders, right? So another one, what do whole grains do for your body? They actually help poop. So the kids love that question. It's like they got the poop word in there. Put an emphasis on all the foods that are in the protein groups. They had a list of proteins and vegetables and things, and then they were supposed to mark which one was that. So we'll actually talk about those later. So I wanted you guys to see that one. So the success for benchmark, this was set for us by the Appalachian Regional Commission, and they were the funder of the intervention. And that was that 60% of the intervention students would have improved test scores from pre-test to post-test. And so what we found actually was that, yay, you know, you're so glad when you run your stats and you find out that you actually have had, you know, what you've either met your benchmark or you surpassed it. So we surpassed it. So what we found out was that 83% of intervention students improved their test scores from pre to post test. 13% their scores remained the same, and 70% their scores actually declined. So we had 83% improved. So that was a big yay moment. So what we also found out was that the intervention students actually improved their test scores by almost 16 points. So that was really, really good. And when we looked at the intervention students, the control students, they've only improved their, only 45% improved their test scores. And it was actually actually significant between the two groups. So there was actually a significant change between the two. So that was also a really good finding from the study. So this is especially important to point out the two differences in the group there, right? So this actually gives you a excuse me. So, and because language is really important when it comes to taking tests, we also looked at a proficiency. So what we found, we found that low proficiency students between the pretest, between the intervention students and the control students, they were still significant among students that were actually low proficiency, middle proficiency again still significant, and high proficiency also significant. Now that gap is lower than high proficiency, and that was actually what we were expecting to find because in those high proficiency, they're going to have more similar levels of reading proficiency, but you can still see that there's definitely a difference between the two. So that, of course, was also another thing that we found very exciting, that in the results seem to be saying what we think that they're saying. We also found that 90% of students reported that while at Health Works, they learned something new about food labels, so they learned how to read food labels a little bit better. They also learned something new about USDA MyPlate. And also, 80% of the intervention students reported that after visiting Health Works, they talked with a family about what they learned at Health Works, and they try to eat more fruits and vegetables every day. And so these things, for us, intervention that's going to work for everybody, right? Especially for kids. So understanding and addressing childhood obesity and overweight is going to really take this multi-level, multi-systemic change. And one way that we can help do that is to bring families into that and help them kind of become more involved. And so, you know, part of what we're looking at with HealthWorks, if we get the funding for it, is to kind of beef up the website so that there are more links for parents, more recipes and things like that that parents can use that are more healthy for them. So what we have found out from the study was that Be a Food Groupie positively impacted health literacy among 83% of the intervention students, and remember that that exceeded our benchmark set by our funder of 60%. So the implications for research and practice are that children's museums and children's health education centers, they're increasingly engaged in these kinds of programs. And it's also important to know that they actually are serving a lot of people. 31 million visitors a year is quite a lot of people. So what we know is that systematic evaluations of their programs are very, very scarce. And, of course, this is because it's very expensive to do these kinds of things, right? And usually children's museums and education centers just don't have the funding for that. So we're helping to add to that body of knowledge and provide some evidence evidence that the Be a Food Groupie program actually worked. And we think that this is actually important for other programs because designing programs that are evidence-based and will actually teach what you think that you're trying to teach is really important, and we're hoping that this will kind of give some information on that. And I have, this is actually a picture of the Health Works evaluation. This is designed for a lay audience. I'm happy to share that with people. If you want to email me, that's my email. And I also have cards up here. And let's see, I think how much time I have left. Huh? I have 6 minutes left. And I have to run because I have another oral presentation right after this and the next thing, so I can't stay for the Q&A. But if anybody has some questions right now for me, then I would love to take them.